You know, our preaching theme this year is Transformed by Truth. And in recent morning sermons, they've been based around the Hebrew word for word, which is Dabar. I thought I never really introduced this mini-series properly, so I'll give you a little bit of background to the word Dabar, because it's a rich and multifaceted term that we find throughout the Old Testament. It carries meanings that go beyond the simple English translation of word. Dabar itself appears over 1,400 times in the Old Testament, and it's used in various contexts. It conveys ideas like a spoken word, a command, a matter, or a concept. It is a word that reflects not only communication, but also something that is actively happening. It embodies, I suppose, a concept or an event in real terms, in real time. At its most basic, the word Dabar can mean a literal spoken word or saying. For example, it's often used to refer to words spoken directly by God. Genesis 15:1, after these things, the word Dabar of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Here, Dabar, it signifies divine communication, a communication that carries authority and creative power. In other contexts, Dabar, it represents a command or an instruction, especially when it comes from God. When the prophets declare the word, the bar of the Lord, they're not only sharing words, they're sharing God's authoritative commands, God's intentions with the people. Psalm 33:9 illustrates that well. For when he spoke, the bar, the world began. It appeared at his command. The bar can also refer to an event, an action, or a concept. Anything that can be discussed or observed. It doesn't merely mean word. It includes matter, it includes thing, and the use suggests that the bar carries a substance to it, that there is something solid about it. In Exodus 18:16, for example, it's used, as Moses explained, when they have a matter, the bar, they come to me. That refers specifically to situations or disputes that require judgment. You see, in the Hebrew scriptures, the bar is closely linked with many, many things, including the idea of prophecy and divine revelation. The prophets of old conveyed the word of God, the bar of God, not just as words to be heard, but truth to be experienced, truth to be followed. My hope is that in the modern world that preachers still attempt to bring the Dabar of God in its fullness to congregations. It is all about the word of God. It is about the truth of God. The spiritual insight that comes, the foresight that comes when we listen to the word, to the Dabar of God. God's words are more than sounds. They're not just symbols. They carry divine authority. They carry meaning. And God, through his words, will always accomplish what he declares. He will not be thwarted. He will not be stopped. God is God. And we should know that to be true. In biblical thought, words are active. They're purposeful. Every word has a reason and a meaning. God's Dabar, when it's spoken, things happen. Right back at the beginning, he spoke and creation began. Events unfolded, promises are fulfilled. Dabar is something that is creative and impactful, and it still has meaning for us today. I suppose in summary of the introduction, Dabar is something much more than speech. It's a profound expression of God's will, God's presence and God's action in the world and in our lives. It's a reminder that God's word is a living word, that God's word is an active word, and God's word shapes reality. It commands action and it brings about his purposes. Okay, introduction over, sermon begins. The title of the sermon this morning is The Enduring Word, The Fragility of Life and the Strength of God's Word. We're going to be looking at a powerful truth from 1 Peter, because life may seem fragile, it may seem fleeting, but the word of God endures forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. As the scriptures say, people are like grass, Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. We think about things in this world that seem solid and stable. Mountains, oceans, perhaps even our loved ones. We think of them as solid, secure, stable. But in reality, the things of this world are temporary. But God's word remains unchanging. I was watching the news this week and the floods that have taken place through Valencia. And it's saddening to see that the people who thought they had security in their homes, in the place that they lived, now are surrounded by a carpet of mud. And even in our own lives, there are times, I think, when we rely too much on our own strength, too much on our own abilities. We think that we have built ourselves to a point where we cannot fall. And then the mud and the mire comes and seems to draw us in. I don't know if you've ever watched anyone on TV where they've experienced quicksand and they thought it was solid, they thought it was safe, but you watch as they slowly sink. And we, in our fallenness, in our brokenness, there are times when we start to sink. But our Lord Jesus is there to reach out and grab us. Just as Peter, when he tried to walk on water and he took his eyes off of Jesus, started to sink, he needed Christ to lift him out. And friends, we may have been believers for years. We may be leaders in a church, but all of us can come to that point where we feel like we're sinking and we need Jesus to lift us up. And often he will do that through the power of his word. In order for us to endure, in order for us to continue, we need to listen to the word of God. We need the word of God to stir our hearts into worship. We need the word of God to compel us, to move us, as God continues to make us ready for heaven. First point, the temporary nature of human life. I'm 55, and realistically, I know I've got less days in front of me than I've got behind me. God may tarry and allow me to live to 110. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. The Bible says 70, so that's 70, isn't it? And there are people through modern medicine that do live longer than that. I saw a woman on TV this week who is 98 years old, still got all her faculties, and is still walking 3 to 5 miles a day at 98. I think I'd struggle to walk 3 to 5 miles at 55. Don't know about you. But life is temporary. Peter reminds us of this humble truth. People are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade. Here, the Apostle Peter, he's quoting Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. He paints a vivid picture of the frailty of life. The Greek word that's translated as wither here, exerino, it suggests something that dries up, that loses vitality, an image that speaks to life's fragility, the fleeting nature. Dried flowers, for example, they still look lovely, but they will never be as vibrant as a fresh flower, will they? My wife received a birthday present yesterday from my son. He bought her freeze-dried mango. Apparently, it tastes absolutely fantastic. I have no idea what it tastes like because my wife ate it all. But sometimes when things are frozen, when they're dried, they can retain their flavour. But if we as Christians become frozen or dried in our Christianity, I think we lose our flavour. There's a verse that says, you can't put the saltiness back in the salt. We can be revitalized, we can be changed, we can be re-energized by the word of God. Not through our efforts, but purely through God speaking to us. Psalm 103, verses 15 to 16 says this, our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers we bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone as though we had never been here. Our earthly achievements, our lives, no matter how grand they may be, no matter how important we may be during our life, for whatever reason, we fade away like flowers in a field. But from God's perspective, our worth is not based on what we do. Our worth is not based on the length of our lives. Our worth is based on the purpose he has given us. And God has given every single one of us a purpose. None of us are without purpose when it comes to God's economy. He could have saved us. He could have taken us straight to heaven. But he has chosen to leave us here for a reason. And maybe sometimes we struggle to understand what that reason is. Maybe sometimes we are unclear of what it is that God is calling us to do. That's when we need to go into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to speak to us. God builds each of us for a purpose. Each of us is built for his glory. I mean, if you think about sandcastles on a beach, no matter how beautiful a sandcastle might be, we know that when the tide comes in, the sandcastle will be washed away. And in the same way, our time here is brief, but God's promises are something that we can depend on. Promises are lasting. Our existence will continue in eternity with him. This is temporary. This is a small amount of time for us to experience knowing God, loving him, trusting him, before we step into eternity to be with him forever. To quote John Piper, he said this, "Our lives are brief, but when they are rooted in God's eternal word, they gain a purpose and significance that lasts beyond this life." Friends, our priorities need to be based on the fact that we are here for a temporary amount of time. God has a reason for us to be here. And knowing our time is short, it should drive us to live with purpose, with intention, and we should be willing to be grounded in the truth of God's word, because that's where our strength comes from. That's where our help comes from. That's where we learn to endure. Second point, the enduring nature of God's word. Peter follows the description of human frailty with an assurance, the assurance of God's word. "But the word of the Lord remains forever." Here the Greek for remains is menio. It means to stay, to abide, or continue. It signifies something that's lasting, something that's unchanging. God's presence forever with us. Human life is fleeting, but God's word is eternal. God's word is reliable. We can trust it. It will not fail us. Isaiah 55:11 says this, "It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." God's word is enduring. God's word is powerful. God's word is effective. It's God's word that changes us and transforms us from the inside out. And unlike everything else, his word does not fade. It will always fulfill his will. Imagine standing on a solid rock with a storm raging around you. The waves may crash, the winds may blow, but the rock that you are on is solid. It cannot move. God's word, friends, is the unshakable rock. God's word is our anchor of hope. God's word is truth in a world that believes lies. In the chaos that is around us, God's word stands. The singer Don Moen once said this, "The Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions." I've met a few Christians over the years who have a Bible, and they're really proud of their Bible because the dust collection that's on it is incredible. They read it once and then put it on a shelf, and occasionally they might take it off and dust it, but the dust grows on it week by week. A Bible shouldn't just be something that we pick up occasionally. We need to spend time in the Word of God daily. We need to be grounded in truth. We can't stand on the promises of God if we don't know what the promises of God are. We cannot use scripture when the enemy attacks us if we don't know the word of God for ourselves. We need to prioritize his word again in our lives. When everything around us feels uncertain, we have the assurance that God's nature is unchanging. that God's guidance is true, that his love for us is everlasting. I can see you're thrilled by that. Everlasting. There's nothing that can break it. We can position ourselves so that we don't receive from God's love. We can distance ourselves from God because we choose not to draw near to him. We choose not to pray. We choose not to read the word of God. But God is always there. And he calls to us. And he beckons us to come near, to listen, to learn, to grow, to trust. And we do that by reading his word. God's word is a treasure. It's something we can build our lives on, knowing that it will remain forever. Third point, the word and the good news of salvation. Peter continues, and that word is the good news that was preached to you. This, friends, is the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. It's joyful tidings. It's a message of victory. Jesus has overcome the power of sin and death. And when we trust in him, when we accept him as Lord and Saviour, our eternal destination is changed. And we are transformed. Through Jesus' life, through his death, through his resurrection, we are invited into a relationship with God that transcends the temporary nature of this world. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. But it's not just listening for information, friends. The truth of the gospel changes us. It transforms us. It makes us new. It brings us from death to life, from temporary to eternal, from lost to broken. Think about a candle for a moment, lighting up a dark room. The candle can dispel the darkness, and the gospel can bring light to our lives, guiding us from this temporary existence to eternal life. An eternal life that is a promise and an assurance to all who trust in God. To all who trust the word, to all who trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, the promise is certain and secure. The preacher and author Timothy Keller said this, the gospel is not just the ABCs of Christianity, you know, accept, believe, confess, but the A to Z of the Christian life. When we used to live in London, I used to have an A to Z of London map book. Maybe some of you have seen those. You could find any street, you could know exactly where you needed to go by consulting this map book. The Bible is our guidebook. The Bible is our map. The Bible is what we can use to lead us onto the right path and to keep us on the right path. We shouldn't ignore the Word of God. In fact, we're called to be bearers of the good news of the gospel, the good news of the word. In a world where so many are focused on things that are fleeting, in a world where there are so many people watching and listening to so-called influencers, how much more can we who know truth be people who influence others to discover Jesus for themselves? Friends, we need to carry the truth of God into every relationship we have, whether it's our families, our work colleagues, our neighbours, the people in the shop next door. We can carry the presence of Christ, the word of Christ, into our communities. We can share the message that transforms lives. God's word is eternal. It's not something for us to be ashamed of. It's something for us to proclaim. So in conclusion, trusting in the eternal word. As we stand on the promises of God, as the word of God is our strong and firm foundation, even though we're reminded of our own mortality, we are reminded of God's eternal nature. Everything in this world is temporary, but the word of God, his promises, his love, those are all eternal. The truth will transform our lives. The truth will give us purpose. The truth will carry us through all the years that we have here on earth. But friends, we need to accept a call to action. We need to commit to spending time in the Word of God. We need to commit to having Christ as the anchor of our life. He is the one that guides us. He is the one that grounds us. He is the one that fills us with hope. And the word of God must be the foundation on which we build everything else. There is the parable, isn't there, about the wise and the foolish builder. One built his house on the sand, the other built it on the rock. And the winds and the rain came, and the one who had built on what was not a solid foundation, everything was washed away. But the one that was grounded on the rock stood firm against the storms, stood firm against the adversity of the wind and the rain. And friends, we need to ensure that we are standing on the rock, standing on Christ. He must be our foundation. Before anything in this world, it's got to be God that we lean and trust and stand upon. Maybe you haven't placed your faith in Jesus yet. Maybe you're yet to know his love and his mercy in your own life. Time is short. Don't put off knowing Jesus for yourself. All it takes is a simple prayer to ask Jesus into your life, to repent and to turn to him, to trust him as your Lord and your Saviour. Today is the day of salvation, and it will be for many people in the world today. Today will be the day where so many will say for the first time, Jesus Christ is Lord. And maybe it will be someone that we meet. Maybe it will be someone that we share the truth of the gospel with, who comes to realise that it's in Christ alone that our salvation comes. Dabar, it means so much more than word. And I pray that God's word will mean more to each and every one of us as we read it, digest it, think about it, and share it with others. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of Dabar, that through many generations you have spoken to your people in so many different ways. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply the truth of your word to our lives, that we would live according to your statutes, that we would live according to your will and purposes for us, and that we would be willing to share the truth of the good news, the truth of the gospel, with everyone that we meet. We've heard your scriptures this morning, Lord. May we think about them, may we ponder on them, but more than that, may they call us to action, that we might serve you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing across our network of churches. We thank you, Lord, that people are coming to know you, that the gospel is being proclaimed, and that you are changing and transforming lives. Pray that as we approach this coming Christmas season, that we would take every opportunity to explain the truth about why Jesus had to come, what he did, and how people can be assured of sins forgiven and eternal life when they place their trust in you. Bless us, Lord, as we go from this place this morning. Go before us. Keep us safe, I pray, Lord, and help us to always honour and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.